All right. Hey, well, today we are in week two of our message series. It's all about relationships. It's called Relationship Goals, Relationship Goals. Some of you saw those pictures of some of the couples, and you're like, I don't know if that's my relationship goal, you know, to have a marriage or relationship like The Simpsons or some of these others. But anyway, that's just to set the tone and warm you up. But in this series, we're really talking about, no matter what your relationship status is, we're talking about, for some of us, it's preparing ourselves for the relationships that God has for us. For some of us, on the other hand, it's about building up our current relationships. So no matter where you are, there's something for you. And we're focusing a little bit more on marriage in this series, but I want you to know that there are principles that you can apply in every area, in every relationship in your life. And so I don't know if you've seen on social media, but there is this trend on social media where basically somebody will post a picture and they'll use the hashtag relationship goals, hashtag relationship goals. And it's usually they'll post a picture, this perfect scene, this perfect moment, and you know, it's usually got a perfect filter where everything, you know, it's like you look at it, it's a couple where just everything looks happy, everything makes sense, and so people will see that and say, oh, I want that. That's what I want. I want that kind of relationship. In fact, here's a picture. This is an example of that. It's like, oh, you know, this couple that was not shot yesterday, or the picture's not taken yesterday, but I thought a snow picture would help you out because that's where we've been. Thank God for the snow. But anyway, this couple, they're kissing, and they've got a blanket that looks like an Indian made it, and it's got fringe on it around them. It's a blanket made for one, and this is, you know, we look at this, and many of us say, oh, that's what I want. Like, I want that. And what I've learned about these pictures on Instagram is that picture is just a moment in time, and oftentimes it's a stage reality. So don't compare your relationship to that. Here, put the picture back up one more time, because I want to show you this. Here's the thing. Why in the world do they go out in the snow? You know this. We've had experience with snow, Georgians, right? We've had experience. Why did they go out in the snow with no jacket on? Like, come on. And what was it that said, oh, let's take the time to grab one little paper-thin blanket and drape it around us? You know, this is very clear that the guy has not staged this picture, right? So anyway, hashtag relationship goals. Anyway, many of you, I would imagine, have goals in so many areas of your life. Probably when it comes to your career, you've got some goals. Maybe fitness goals, maybe family goals, finance goals, things about your future. But what I've found is a lot of times when it comes to our relationships, we're not entirely sure what we're aiming for. We're not entirely sure the target that we're aiming for, and so we just take what comes, we go with the flow, and we sometimes just do what feels right. And what we said last week, though, is that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. When you aim at nothing in your relationships, you'll hit it every time, right? It's a perfect science. You'll hit it every time. And so what we're doing in this series, we're looking at four relationship goals that I believe God wants all of us to have. And so last week we looked at relationship goal number one. Relationship goal number one that God wants for all of our relationships is He wants our relationships to be Christ-centered. Let's say that God wants our relationships to be what? Christ-centered. Meaning that Jesus directs our decisions. He gives us the power and enables us to love one another. When we're in Christ, we can love beyond us. Today, we're going to be talking about relationship goal number two. Here's relationship goal number two. I want to encourage you to be spouse treasuring. Let's say it together, to be spouse treasuring. If you're married, we're going to be talking about how to treasure your spouse. And if you came with somebody today, this is like, oh, thank God, he needs to hear that. Oh, you know, thank God she needs to hear that. Here's the thing. In this series, my goal is to not send you out to lunch with some kind of entitlement factor, right, of what he's not doing or she's not doing. The goal is to pick up a mirror, to pick up a mirror and to say, God, how can I be more of the person that she wants? How can I be more of the person that he wants, right? How can I be that person, God, that you want me to be? It's a lot of times when I do premarital counseling or talk with couples, a lot of times it's about he needs to do this or she needs to do this, but oftentimes it starts with us. How can we become those people, the people that God wants us to be in our relationships, being spouse treasuring? Let me ask you this question as we're getting started. I need some help out here, especially from the married couples. How many of you have ever made a fool of yourself in the name of love? Anybody ever made a fool of yourself in the name of love? Three people. All right. I feel like I'm alone here. All right. We're going to have a little bit more fun. All right. So let me tell you this. When Mandy and I first started dating, we probably did what a lot of you did when you've been in that season of your life. I was in Kentucky in seminary. We literally had met. She was here in Swanee. I went up to Kentucky for seminary, and we met like a month after I left. Like, it was like, God, could you have not worked this out like a few months earlier? Because we could have started our relationship not long distance. But you know what? You do anything when you find somebody you love. And so I was in Kentucky, 6.5 hours away. And so what we would do is we couldn't see each other all the time during the week, and so we would talk on the telephone. For those of you who are a teenager, this is what we used to do. Like, we used to just, like, talk, right? There was none of this going on. I didn't even have text messaging. Mandy actually sent me a text message after we talked the first time, and she thought I blew her off because I didn't have text messaging, right? We're not that ancient. I was just cheap, right? But anyway, we would talk on the phone for hours and hours and hours, and sometime, I don't know if you've ever done this before, if you remember this time, we would just be sitting there, not saying anything, almost like we were just listening to each other breathing, right? And does it make sense? No, but it didn't matter. We were in love, and that's what you do when you're in love. And instead of for me staying in Kentucky on the weekends and, you know, kind of doing the thing that you would normally do, saving gas money, and I had a brand new car, the car that I drive now that doesn't look brand new anymore. I had a brand new car at that moment, and instead of saving mileage on my brand new car, what did I do? Almost every weekend, I would travel all the way from Kentucky down here, 6.5 hours down and 6.5 hours back in order to see her. And some of my friends said, you are going to rag out your brand new car. But I didn't care. I had a different target. It wasn't about the car anymore. It was about, I want to do whatever I can to get her, to be with her. Some of you can relate to that. Here's a really lame moment. Mandy and I, when we got married, we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii, which was not lame. It was awesome. Here's a picture of us at a luau in Hawaii. Right? Some of you are like, what happened to you? Mandy, you look the same, but what happened to you? Sometimes life happens, okay? But anyway, it's just the filter, all right? But anyway, we were having such a good time, but we had gotten these sandals that were basically carved out letters to spell a word on the sandals. So when you walked on sand, it would kind of spell the word. And so we got these sandals that basically on one foot said just, on the other one said married. And I thought it was so lame when I opened it up, but Mandy loved it, and I loved her. And one day when she said, hey, why don't we put our sandals on together? And why don't we walk down the beach and we'll take our camera and we'll take pictures of our sandal print in the sand? I said, okay, right, let's do it, because I loved her. And so we went out and we started stepping, just married, just married. This is so lame, right? Just married. We're holding hands and she's holding a camera, and she realized that because the sand was so soft, instead of it saying just married, it just kind of said blah, blah. Like, it was just this, it didn't really say anything. And we were so lame, but I didn't care, because we were in love and I treasured everything about her, even lame photo. For those of you who have been there, for those of you who are married, I imagine you probably had a similar story, if you can remember back to that time, where maybe you did all sorts of things to pursue your spouse. You did all sorts of crazy things, buying tickets that you didn't have the money to buy, and taking her and him to places, doing special things to show that you're special. And what I found is that by nature, By nature, we pursue what we don't have. We pursue what we don't have. And what I mean is when we see something we want, if we don't have it, we go after it. And so that's what we do. And so, but here's the thing. What happens years later? What happens years later when you flash forward and suddenly you don't feel the love, you don't feel that same type of passion that you did before? What do? And you kind of look around and you wonder, like, where did the adventure go? And where did our, you know, where did the romance and the passion go? And the answer is oftentimes really simple. Somewhere along the way, we lost sight of the target. Somewhere along the way, we stopped pursuing one another the way we did before. And so the thing is, your spouse you once saw as this incredible blessing from God, this blessing from heaven that was given to you by God, but all of a sudden he and she just kind of starts to look ordinary and normal and expected. Ho-hum, right? And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you today. The bottom line is this. I want to encourage you to always treat your spouse as a treasure and a blessing from God. Always treat your spouse as a treasure and as a blessing from God. And so here's the thing. When I think about the word treasure, I think about a pirate. I don't know why, but I think about that. Maybe because our kids used to watch Jake and the Neverland Pirates and all that. But what does a pirate do when it sees when he wants a treasure? Man, he goes after it. It doesn't matter if it means breaking the law. Now, I'm not saying break the law, couples. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what it takes. You're going to go get the treasure, right? This is, I think, how God wants us to be. Don't break the law. Don't quote me. But here's the thing. In Genesis chapter 2, we read last week how God put a desire inside of us for companionship. And he makes the man in his own image. And then he creates the woman. He creates woman out of the man. And here's what he says. He basically says, "This is now bone of my bone," Adam says. He sees the woman. He's like, "Whoa! This is bone from my bone. She's like flesh from my flesh." Like, you know, and he says, "I will call her Woo Man because she was taken out of man." It's in the Bible. Just read it, you know. And then here's the thing. I want you to think about this. Is there any other area of your life? Is there any other area of your life where you can be lazy and see improvement? Is there any other area of your life where you can be lazy and see improvement? For instance, can you be lazy with your body and sit on a beanbag chair eating Cheetos and expect to get healthy and fit? No, right? Unless you're a freak. I don't know, you know? I'm just kidding. If you do that, we'll talk. Can you be lazy in your business? You know, can you just kind of mismanage your finances and kind of take your eye off the ball when it comes to your business? No, it's not going to grow. What about your yard? If you just kind of neglect your yard and get lazy with your yard, you know, you don't water it, you don't mow it, you don't fertilizer. What happens? The yard will not grow the right way. What's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of weeds, right? And the HOA will start sending you letters, you know. Speaking of yards, though, Craig Groeschel once said this. He once said that in your marriage, if the grass ever looks greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own yard. If the grass ever looks greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own yard, right? You know, everybody knows that falling in love is fun, but basically growing in love always takes work. It takes pursuing each other. So speaking of Genesis 2, here's what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. We looked at this last week. We're going to highlight something more this week. It says right after he sees the woman and says, "Wow, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." It says this: "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." The two become one flesh. Now let's focus on this word united. You're united. This is God's plan for you to be united. The root word of, it's a Hebrew word, and Hebrew is kind of funny because it's almost like pictures. It's like word pictures. But basically, the word is actually dabak. It's translated united. And the word dabak, you'll be united, literally means to cling to or to adhere to. You will be clinging to each other or adhering to each other. It literally means to catch by pursuit. I love that. Or to pursue hard with affection and devotion. And so we're to pursue hard after one another. And when we do, by God's power, God can actually make us 1. But one of my favorite Bible verses or stories of pursuit in the Bible is actually in the Old Testament. It's the story of Jacob and his love for Rachel. Jacob and his love for Rachel. It's found in Genesis 29. You don't have to turn there. Let me just tell you the story, and you can go read it later, because it's pretty funny. So basically, there's two sisters. There's two sisters. The older one's name is Leah, and the younger one's name is Rachel. The older one's name is Leah, and the younger one is Rachel. Rachel, okay. So the Bible's funny in how it colors and says things. Sometimes the Bible says stuff that's like, can you say that? Are you allowed to say that? Here's what the Bible literally says. It says that Rachel, basically the younger one, Rachel had a lovely figure. It's beautiful. This is like straight from the Word of God, right? Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. But then it says this about Leah. It says Leah had weak eyes. You know, like poor Leah, you know, like, come on. Basically, you know, Leah had weak eyes. This is like the Hebrew equivalent of she has a good personality, you know, like Rachel is beautiful and oh my goodness, everything about her, Leah, poor thing, you know, this is kind of how the Bible says it. And so, of course, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved the younger beautiful one. I'm sure the other was beautiful in her own way, but he loved Rachel, and he went to her father, Laban, and he says to the dad, sir, I want to marry your daughter. And he's like, shh. No, he doesn't do that, really. That just happens today. But he says, I want to marry your daughter, and I will do whatever it takes because I just want to be with her. I love her. I want to marry her. And the father says, great, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you marry my daughter if you'll work for me for 7 years. After you work for 7 years, then I'll let you guys get married. And he's like, deal. He said yes, right? It's a bad deal, but he says yes. And so, and I love this because it's a great model of love, a great model of pursuit because Jacob literally worked for his father-in-law, soon to be his father-in-law, for 7 years. And the Bible actually says that not only did he work for 7 years, but those 7 years, Scripture says, seemed like only a few days because he loved her that much. It was almost like, man, this is not a chore. I'm waking up every day because I'm pursuing her someday. This is what Mandy and I used to say all the time. We would talk about something that we were dreaming about when we got to get married, and we would say, someday, someday. And this is his. He's working and working. He said, someday. And so after 7 years, he goes to the father, her father, and he's like, okay, I've done what I needed to do. Can I please marry her? And the father pulls a switcheroo. He pulls a switcheroo, and he says, yeah, you can marry one of my daughters. You can have Leah, the older one. Because in my culture, you know, the way we do things, the custom is you give the oldest daughter away first, and so you can marry the oldest daughter. And so he's like, well, but I wanted to marry Rachel. I love Rachel. And the father basically says, okay, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll promise to work for me for 7 more years, I'll let you marry her as well. Kind of weird, marrying two people, just go with it, different culture, stuff like that. But I'll give her that daughter as well. And so some people think that Jacob actually had to work for 7 more years, and then he got to marry Rachel. It's not true. It's the opposite. What actually happened was this time the father went ahead and says, okay, you can marry Rachel. You can marry Rachel if you'll promise after you get married that you'll give me 7 more years of work. I'll let you marry her. And so here's what I love about this picture, and here's how it applies to marriage. I love that Jacob kept pursuing Rachel even after he had already received her as his bride. He kept working for her. He kept pursuing her. He kept doing whatever he had to do for her even after he already put a ring on it. You know what I mean? See, I believe that's what God wants us to do in our marriage, that we just pursue each other. And so here's the big idea for today, and it's this. I want to encourage you to keep pursuing your spouse with love. Man, isn't that, it's nothing super huge, but man, if we'll apply this, wow, it'll be huge in our relationships. Keep pursuing your spouse with love. Just because you put a ring on it, oh, single ladies, oh, whatever that song is, right? Just because you put a ring on it doesn't mean you stop pursuing each other. In fact, when you get married, you say I do, what that actually means is you're not stopping dating. It means that you're saying yes to dating each other for a lifetime. Hashtag relationship goals. You date each other for a lifetime. Here's what Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says. It says, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he says this, be devoted to one another in love. He's talking about all relationships, but it applies to marriage here as well. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I love that. Be devoted to one another. Like, you know, if you've ever been like devoted to a sport before, you've ever been devoted to a hobby before, and it's like, that's like, oh, you just wake up every day and you can't wait to get back to work. You can't wait to put the work in. This is the picture here. Be devoted to one another in love. And I think what it means is that love is an action word. It's a verb, right? It's not just a mindset. And so when I talk to couples who have been happily married for years and years and years, what I've found is that they've mastered what it means to be devoted to one another daily, to be devoted to one another. They pursue each other. They put in the effort to love each other well. And so what Paul is saying is this, and again, I know you're probably starting to think about your spouse right now and the way they act and the way they do. This is a mirror moment. This is a mirror where we say, God, how can I be? How can I be the person you want me to be, right? Paul is saying, don't get lazy in your relationship. Paul is saying, look, don't get standoffish in the way that you love your spouse. Don't be standoffish, guys, right? Don't make them have to wonder about your love. Make loving them your devotion, your priority, your mission. Put your love into action. See, sometimes I think we think that love works like Cupid. You know, you ever seen Cupid? Which, by the way, get some clothes on, Cupid. Have you ever seen Cupid before? This cute little naked baby, you know, or whatever, with an arrow. And what does Cupid do? He takes a love arrow, and he pulls it back, and he shoots somebody with a love arrow, and they just fall hopelessly and helplessly, madly in love, and they can't do anything about it. And there's all the feelings and all the emotion. And aren't you glad that love has feelings with it? Aren't you glad, you know, that those butterflies do come and there are feelings with love? Here's the thing, though. The problem with that is that real love isn't just a feeling. Real love isn't just a feeling, because if it's just a feeling, here's what happens in our culture. If it's just a feeling, we can fall in love and we can fall out of love, like the tide coming in and out. You know, I sang a classical song. I was actually a classical music major when I was in college, a voice major in college. And there's a song that I used to sing that I thought was a love song. You probably have heard it. It goes like this: La donna è mobile, qual più il mal vento, mutar accento e di pensiero. It's like, oh. That sounds like love, doesn't it? Like something like that. La donna è mobile. You know, you heard that song. Anyway, what I learned is the first word actually says, women are flighty as a feather. And I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm saying that, right? But I think what I would say to you in the same way is, feelings are flighty as a feather. Feelings can come and go. Feelings can come and go. Love is not just a feeling. Love is a decision. It's a decision of the will. It's a daily choice that you have to make. I'm choosing to love you. Even if I don't feel it right now, I'm choosing to love you. And so the good news is you don't have to wait on a half-naked Cupid to shoot you with a love arrow for you to fall madly in love. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Be Cupid. Be Cupid, right? Be Cupid and shoot that arrow toward your spouse. Aim your love after them. Make a decision to pursue him, pursue her with your love. Here's why this is important. Your spouse is a gift. Your spouse is a treasure that has been handed down to you as a gift from God. And so here's the big idea. Keep pursuing your spouse with love. Let me say a word about this. If you're not married, I want you to hear this. I want to encourage you. What does this mean for you? What it means is, don't date someone who takes you for granted. Don't date someone who takes you for granted. In fact, you are a treasure, you are a gift from God. So find somebody who treats you like that. Find somebody who treats you like that. You know, I believe that everybody has good intentions when they go into a relationship, especially a marriage. Everybody has good intentions. I don't think that anybody ever got married who kind of thought, you know what, I want to be a crummy husband. I want to be a crummy wife someday. Like, I want to do that. Like, in our marriage relationship, I want there to be bickering and fighting. And I don't want us to get along. In our relationship, what I dream about is that we will just be super mediocre, you know? Lukewarm love. Oh, that's what I want. I don't know anybody that says that. I don't know anybody that says, in our relationship together, I want us to live more like roommates instead of being like soulmates. I don't think anybody goes into relationships like that. And yet, oftentimes, we end up in those places. And so here, very practically, if you're married especially, how do you keep pursuing your spouse now? How do we do that? What does that mean? How do we do that? Let me give you a couple ideas. Here's the first idea. Number one, I want to encourage you to pursue your spouse with words of affirmation. Pursue your spouse with words of affirmation. In other words, when you think something good, say it. Let's do this together. When you think something good, say it. Oh man, this is good. Especially for guys, because it's harder for us to communicate the love that we feel inside. When you think something good, say it. Your spouse with words of affirmation. So here's the thing. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, here's what it says. The author of Hebrews says this, but encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That was a big jump, wasn't it? Right? But what it's saying is this, if you don't want to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness in your relationship, man, just encourage one another every day. That's one of the things you can do so that he or she doesn't have to start looking around in some other place to feel love. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. See, if you can do that in very simple ways. One of the things that I think you can do that's really helpful is basically this one phrase, I love you because. I love you because. This is a way that you can love with words of affirmation. I love you because, and then you change the ending every time. I love you because, I love you because you're so much fun to be around. Doesn't that feel good? I love you because I just recognize how much you're self-sacrificing. Like, you're always putting me and the interest of our family before yourself. I love you because you're so beautiful on the inside and out. I love you because you're my best friend. That's one of the things Mandy and I say a lot together, not only the just married. One of the things we used to say is best friend. It was just a reminder that you're my teammate. You're my teammate. I love you because you're my best friend. I love you because you honor God. Man, women, let me just tell you, sometimes men need a little bit of kick in the tail spiritually to kind of push them down the road a little bit to pursue Jesus. Man, sometimes if they let's say they pray at a meal or something like that, you can say, wow, I loved how you just prayed right there. And guys are like, I'm going to pray again, like, you know? And you know, maybe it was just, you know, bless this food, bless this meat, good God, let's eat, right? It's like, that was so beautiful how you prayed right there. And he's like, well, I'll pray for you more, right? I'll do that more, right? Sometimes we need encouragement. Here, let me tell you a little bit of a secret. Men, here's what she needs to know. Women need to know this. Women need to know, do you love me today? They need to know, do you love me today? In other words, she wants to feel secure in your love for her. Don't make her guess. Say it. She wants to know, do you love me today? And so tell her, like with your words. Tell her with your words why you value and treasure and why you love her. On the other hand, here's what men need to know. Here's what men need to know. Men need to know, he needs to know, do you believe in me today? Do you believe in me today? Because what men are oftentimes looking for in every area is that we want to know, are you proud of me? We want to know, we want to have respect in different areas of our life, right? We want to be respected in our career. We want to, like, you to be proud of us in our home, you to be proud of us in the way that we love you. And so try to not tell your husband what he's not. Try to avoid telling him what he's not, because for a guy, man, that is so deflating. It's like, why should I even try, right? So women, what does that mean? It means use words of affirmation to build him up. Find something he's doing good and tell him. You know, Mandy is amazing at this for me. She is my all-time cheerleader, even when I don't deserve cheerleading. And a lot of times during, let's say I'll preach a message and it was okay, she'll tell me the honest truth. But sometimes I'll preach and she'll be like, "Wow, that was such a powerful message today." And I was like, "Well, I'll preach for you again, right?" Like, guys can turn something really funny sometimes. Like, we, you know. But anyway, here's the thing. She'll tell me stuff, and it's kind of like, "Wow." I don't care what anybody else thinks. If she thinks I'm doing good, wow, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, right? If she is proud of me, that's awesome. That's what I want. And so I want to encourage you to pursue your spouse with words of affirmation. Here's number two. I want to encourage you to pursue your spouse by doing something special. By doing something special. This is putting it into action. In other words, when you think something special, do it. When you think something special, do it, do it, do it, do it. It's interesting because a lot of times we'll think about something special to do for our spouse, and then it's just like, that's a great idea sometime. I should do that sometime. And we miss the opportunity to be a blessing to our spouse. And so sometimes for me, I'll go to the grocery store, very rarely. I'll go to the grocery store, and there's the flower aisle in the grocery store. And for, I don't know why, but that's just one of those things. When I see the flower aisle, I just think about her, because I know that Mandy loves, like, when I give her flowers. And so, I'll go and sometimes I'll even pick flowers. You know, if you can't afford flowers, go pick them, right? But go to the grocery store, and sometimes I'll buy her flowers and I'll bring them home to Mandy. And let me just tell you guys, major relationship points, right? Especially if you ever give flowers out in front of other women, man, even more multiplication of points in that moment, right? Just a little tip for you, but Mandy does things for me all the time. She'll bring me home Starbucks when she went through the drive-thru. She'll bring Chick-fil-A to me. She loves me with food. Amen, right? For you, it could be coming home early from work one day and just grabbing some takeout and going to the park. It could be you get tickets to a game and you say, "Why don't we go together?" It could be that you do something special for your spouse. You do something they love to do. If they love to play tennis, you might be bad at it, but you just go play with them because they love to do it. If it's golf, you go do it. If it's music, you go do it. Maybe for your spouse, they love serving in some kind of ministry area. You know one of the things you can do? Go do it with them. Go do it with them. It's one of the ways you can love your spouse. But find ways, simple ways, to lift a burden and to be a blessing. You know, Mandy is also, she's awesome at this as well. One of the things that she does, so many things behind the scenes for me that I don't even know all the time. But she's always finding ways to make my life easier or better, or to allow me to focus on something that I'm working on so that I can be freed up to do that. And you know, for you, it could be that you take a turn to do the dishes. You take a turn to do the dishes. It could be, man, those little munchkins, if you've got kids. They've been running around like crazy. One of the things you can do to love your spouse is say, "I will give them a bath tonight," right? "I will do that tonight," right? Man, that is romantic, right? That's music to her ears or to his ears sometimes, right? And so you can give them a bath. Another thing that you can do is you can fill your spouse's tank up with gas. You could all sorts of different things. Oh, this is another secret. Man, if you just are thinking about them, write them a note. Write them a note. Just, when you think something special, do it. Man, write them a note sometime. Just say, "Hey, I was thinking about you today," right? If you've got little kids, guys, you can take your kids off somewhere and let your wife do something by herself. Man, that is romantic, right? For Mandy, it would be like going to get her nails done or something like that. Here's the bonus round. Your wife comes back home and she's happy and relaxed. Bingo. That's awesome. That's what you want, right? So sometimes we think, well, you know what, that sounds nice, but I'm not receiving that kind of love. Like, that sounds nice, and like, I'm glad, you know, I wish that my husband, my wife would do that, because I'm not receiving that effort. I'm not receiving that much love from my spouse. So why should I pursue him? Why should I pursue her? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't wait on your spouse to make the first move when it comes to love, to do something extra to pursue you. A lot of times we're waiting and waiting and waiting on our spouse to do something to show their love. And you'll have a relationship where there's a whole lot of waiting. A whole lot of waiting around and a lot of entitlement and bitterness that starts to build up. Love makes the first move. True love goes first. True love puts your spouse and their needs for love first. In fact, if you don't like what you're getting, oftentimes, take a look at what you're giving. Take a look at what you're giving to your marriage. In other words, water your own yard. Water your own yard. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. I want to encourage you to always treat your spouse as a treasure, and as a blessing from God. So just in just a moment, we're going to finish up here, but I want to encourage you just for a moment, if you're married, to do just something with me for a minute. I want to encourage you, you can even just close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to just think for a minute. I want you to think for a minute about all the ways that you, if you're married, that you went above and beyond to pursue your spouse with love. When you first started dating, how did you treasure her? How did you treasure him? Think about some of the crazy things that you did to run after them. And maybe for some of you, you would say, I wish that we could love like that again. And here's the good news. You can. You can. In other words, to get what you once had, you must do what you once did. In order to get what you once had, you must do what you once did. If it was ever special, it can be special again by the power of God. And so see your spouse as a treasure and go pursue them with your love.